In a world filled with spyware, ransomware, phish, and more, we need you to be the hero. In this podcast, Information Protection and Security is bringing new ways to fight back against the dangerous actors looking to do digital and physical harm. We'll give you everything you need to know on a different topic of risk every month. Coming to you from IPS with Love.
It's back to school time, and we're talking about screen time, not just for kids, but adults as well. I'm Lisa Waddle.
And I'm John Nekrasov. And before we get to our tips today about creating good habits in the new school year on the internet, we want to discuss the clinical evidence out there around kids and social media. So you spoke with Dr. William Hines, who is Medical Director of the Behavioral Health Services Division at HCA Healthcare, about the risks of social media and what parents can do to protect their kids.
Great. Let's listen.
It's back to school time in most parts of the U.S., and that means increased screen time for lots of children. Today we're talking with Dr. William Hines, and he is the medical director of the Behavioral Health Services Division at HCA Healthcare, and we want to talk about the risks and possible benefits of social media on children. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, social media has been the focus of a lot of people this year, especially. A lot of states have issued restrictions, and earlier this year, I think what caught a lot of people's attention was in May, the Surgeon General issued an advisory saying social media can have a negative effect on children's health. Usually the Surgeon General really focuses on things like seatbelts or cigarettes, so it was kind of surprising that he's looking at screens. As a behavioral health specialist, can you speak to the clinical evidence that exists now on the effects of social media on kids?
Yeah, Lisa, just to kind of talk first to some of the statistics associated with it, there's probably about 40% of 8 to 12-year-olds that are thought to be on social media at any time, and probably 95% of teenagers. Mm. And on a typical weekday, probably about a third of adolescents will report that they spend until midnight or later on their screens.
Oh, wow.
And we know that about half of the teens will find it really hard to give up usage. And we also know that there is a definite increased association, if you will. We can't prove causality at this point. There's an association between depression and anxiety in adolescents and youth.
Wow.
Who use screen time, especially over the 3 hours a day.
Oh, wow. Okay. Frightening stuff.
Yeah.
Now, there's already a rule. The social media companies have rules in place, right, that kids under age 13 need parental consent, but otherwise under 13, they shouldn't be on social media. But we know they are. Mm-hmm. What do you think about age restrictions? Is it a matter of below a certain age they really shouldn't be on? Can those kind of things help with things like anxiety or depression? Is it an age-related
thing? Well, I think limiting the usage can help, but I think that it's not very realistic mm-hmm. to take kids off of social media at this juncture. Mm-hmm. You can restrict it, but to say that they're going to be abstinent from it is probably a pipe dream that most parents have, mm-hmm. But would be very difficult to fulfill.
Right, right. And I mean, obviously we all find that social media is addictive for adults as well and can lead to anxiety and depression in adults as well. So why is there this focus on kids? I mean, what's different about...
Well, in terms of children, you have development neurologically mm-hmm. and psychologically and socially going on through childhood and adolescence. So mm-hmm. the developing brain develops about the age of 25. So you have frontal mm-hmm. lobe development, which is associated with executive functioning and the ability to make rational decisions, which hopefully as adults you and I have. We can at least be a little less impulsive than your average teenager. Mm-hmm. And that has to do a lot with brain development. And so the increased interest in children and adolescents, because they're at a much more vulnerable mm-hmm. state than adults, due to that development. So there's a lot more potential. And we also know that in children and adolescents that peer relationships tend to be much more important to them mm. than necessarily relationships as they get older with parents and whatnot.
Okay.
So there's a lot of influences upon them, negative and positive.
And there do seem to be lots of different issues at play here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've talked a bit about the addictive nature of social media, that it can lead to anxiety, depression, poor self-image, keep kids up late, mm-hmm. right, and take time away that maybe they usually would be
interacting with real people in real life.
Right.
Well, are there, and you know, I like that you said that banning kids from social media is probably a pipe dream. Can we look at, are there benefits for them to be on social media?
Well, for there have been shown to be benefits because for many teens, you know, they are not always feeling that they are part of a group. And so social media does allow them, especially for kids who may have interest in certain activities that maybe they don't find that they have peers at school who have those same interests, that they can find that it's validating to them. There's also been some association with kids in terms of gender identity and whatnot that it's been found to be helpful to validate them because a lot of times they feel very isolated. So there are many benefits potentially if well managed.
True. Okay. Yeah, that's true. I mean, the support that kids can find in teens in those formative years of feeling like the other, maybe they won't feel as much like the other if they see that there's others like them. Well, among the proposals that have been floated is that social media should have a warning slogan on it, right? Kind of like a pack of cigarettes. Does something like that, can that work?
I think that having a warning on it may spur on conversations amongst adolescents and hopefully with their parents and children. I don't think that a restriction, the distinction being with, say, cigarettes is, you know, we know that smoking is bad for your health. There's really no known positive at this juncture. You know, we know it's related directly to lung cancer. We know all of that. Whereas social media is more of a double-edged sword. We know that there's negative potential associated with it for increased depression, anxiety, whatnot. But we also know that there's social connectivity that we discussed, you know, that is associated with it. There's affirmation, that validation that a lot of kids get. So I think that putting a warning on it is, as I said, potentially helpful to spur on conversation and discussion. And I think that that's very important for parents to be involved in communicating with their children about their concerns of social media. It shouldn't just be, you know, let them develop with the social media as natural and see where it goes. So I think to the degree that a warning could sort of stimulate conversation, yes, but do I think it's going to then restrict people from using it? I doubt it.
Probably not, right. Well, so then what advice would you give? You know, what usage guidelines would you suggest for parents who are dealing with kids of any age and saying, what should I do?
Yeah, well, I would say that, you know, a couple of resources that I would suggest would be the American Academy of Pediatrics website. They have an excellent information on that. As you mentioned earlier, the Surgeon General has excellent website associated with usage of social media and the effects of youth and adolescents. It also offers a multitude of tips associated with what families can do. It's essentially a laundry list of what could they could do. I think that the most important aspect of it is, to reiterate, is that it's a conversation between the parents and the child that should start early in life. I mean, at the age of, you know, five, six, seven, that parents should be talking with their children about their concerns about social media and how social media can have positive benefits, but how it can have negative benefits, because there's a lot of extreme things on social media, which obviously have had associations with, even unfortunately through cyberbullying and things like that, with kids committing suicide. So, but it's the mainly the conversation. There are websites where you can develop, if you go to the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry or the American Pediatric Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, they have family plans that you can put together for social media. So there's a lot of online tools that can be useful to people.
Oh, that's great. And so we're creating kind of guidelines or restrictions that fit with your family.
And actually recently I heard of now this is more in the adult space, but I heard of adults actually utilizing packs that would lock their phone up in the evening. So they actually restricted their own access to it, which several people find helpful, because one of the things we know that a lot of the algorithms that are on social media and on the internet in general are, you know, put there in place to subconsciously or not visibly to keep you attached and hooked to the internet and social media. So by restricting access to it, even if you do it yourself, that can have positive benefits.
Yeah, so take control. Right. Take control of your kids' usage and your own. I think that's great advice. Right. And there's lots of tools.
And I think that it's very reasonable for parents, and probably should be done, because there's definitely an association, as I said, with adolescents staying on well after midnight, that they should put restrictions on time usage in terms of at the designated bedtime, whatever it may be, that they say, we're going to put the phone away. Maybe you lock it away. Maybe you take it out of the child's room for sure, but you don't. So preventing access at that point, I think, is a healthy thing.
That's great. Yeah. Okay. Some great tips. And yeah, hopefully this will be helpful as kids head back to school. Thanks for talking to us today, Dr. Hines. Appreciate your time.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks. While there isn't long-term research on this topic, then, most experts do agree that setting ground rules, limits, and keeping the conversation going, talking to your kids, is key to online safety.
Right. And I think so much of it goes back to, like, modeling good behavior. I don't know that we necessarily talk about that a ton, but like, kids do watch you if you're a parent or a trusted adult, and you're modeling being on your phone all the time. Like, your kid will notice that, and they will probably, when they're given access to it, they'll do a similar thing. And obviously, like, you know, they are independent in their actions from you, but like, the things that you do really do have an impact on the way your kid is going to develop. And that's, I think that's true just in relationships in general. Like, we always, like, psychologically, we model mirror the way people act around us. So I do think, like, there is a social element beyond just, like, the actual internet relations we have with people. Like, I think the actual in-person relationships we have with each other and the way we use technology does, like, impact the way we think about it a lot.
Definitely, definitely. You know, and it's, I mean, the fact that even little kids get play cell phones, right? They want to play at being an adult. So they think having a cell phone is part of being an adult, adulting, and they'll mimic, what they see the cool adults in their life doing.
Right. And I think, like, when we're talking about, you know, kids going to school and they have a really long school day, they maybe have extracurricular activities that they're doing after school, and then they come home, just like you and me when we go home, like, after a long work day, we maybe don't want to do something super mentally taxing. I know I don't necessarily usually by the time I'm done at work day. And so, like, I think our default naturally as adults for most of us is, you know, let me scroll social media, let me check my phone, maybe I'll talk to someone on the phone, and also, like, talk to people in person, obviously, but defaulting to video games and watching TV and watching TikToks and whatever is something that, like, the vast majority of people in modern society do. And so, like, of course that's going to trickle down to kids, and kids are going to want to do the same thing, right? And so I do think, like, I think our first tip is really just be open about that. Like, I feel like talking about social media starts with acknowledging, like, if you're telling someone else, like, there can be a problem with this, I think the conversation should start with you being, like, in an appropriate way, obviously, as a parent, like, start with saying, like, this can be a problem for me too. Like, it's not just me putting a rule on you. It's also saying, like, I want you to develop into someone who has a healthy relationship with the internet, just like I want myself to have a healthy relationship with the internet. I think that gets lost sometimes when like, we're talking about boundaries and rules and stuff.
That's true. We say, oh, it's so relaxing just to scroll, and I need to shut off from work and that kind of thing. So that gets to be the model, modeling that behavior. And, and kids are like, well, I had a hard day at school too. And yeah, I just want to check out. You know, leave me alone, Mom.
So I'm curious, like, when you were growing up, what was this conversation like? Because talking about technology and screen time and limits isn't new, right? Like, you can read essays about the dangers of television from the last century, right? Since television basically began. So, like, what was it like for you?
Well, it's true. I didn't have a cell phone growing up. But, yeah, TV was there. That was the after-school activity, TV, or actually talking on a phone that was, you know, on a cord in the kitchen. But, yeah, people talked about
you have to limit screen time. Here we were talking about television. There were studies, and there have been long-term studies since then, that do show, right, long-term TV watching can, you know, it reduces kids' cognitive development. Mm-hmm. It reduces their reading levels, and also just keeps them inside. You know, they don't get outside and interact with others as much. So there is some, you know, I think long-term, getting back to what Dr. Hines was talking about, some long-term evidence-based study we do have about screens. Now, obviously, phones, maybe you could argue, are a little more interactive than a television, but it you can see effects on kids' behavior development and on their mental health. Now, what about you? So you did grow up with having a cell phone. How would you unwind after school?
Yeah, so I didn't have a smartphone until later, in high school. But I definitely did have a TV. I played a lot of video games. I do think gaming is definitely an area where this comes up a lot, right? Whether you game on a console or your phone or a computer or whatever. And we do have a previous podcast about that, GoldenEye on Gaming with Finn Braylon, that you can check out if you want to learn more about just gaming safety in general for kids. But I do think, a lot of this comes back to, you know, being able to have, like I said, have that conversation and think about what it means to be someone who has healthy habits, genuinely. Mm-hmm. Being a good digital citizen is what I like to come back to thinking about, because it's, you know, we work in technology, we work in security, and, you know, when you think about the next generation of people who are going to live in this world since birth, right, you want them to be trained. You don't want them to be cut off, I think, at least in my personal opinion. Like, I don't think you want them to be completely cut off from that, where they suddenly enter the technological world and you're like, I don't know how to deal with this. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to keep myself secure online. I don't know how to have a healthy relationship with this. But I do think it takes very intentional and proactive conversations, whether it's about TV or it's about, you know, how to spot a phishing attack as a child. Like, you may not think to tell your kid, here's how you spot a phishing email, but your kid may have an email address or a text, like a phone number, and they may get phishing messages. And so, like, kind of retooling your approach to think, like, okay, what does my kid need to know to be both a responsible digital citizen and also a safe digital citizen is something that, like, I think more and more people need to think about.
Right. You know, and there's a ton of resources online of how to have those conversations, what to cover in them. But I think it is being open, right, transparent about your own habits. The more aware kids can be about what is out there, about the dangers, about cyberbullying, right, about being targeted by adults masquerading as somebody else. You know, they need to know that so that when they get a certain phish or a text, they can be a little savvy about it and not be in the dark. So I think that's important to figure out when to start having that conversation, which is probably earlier than you think, and to continue that conversation. It's not just something you have at, you know, age 6 or when you hand over the phone at age 10 or 13 or whenever kids get their phones now. It's really ongoing because technology is changing too, and the attacks are changing. So it really is a conversation to have every year. Back to school is probably a good time to think about it.
Yeah, and I think it's important to, like, take advantage of learning opportunities when they come up. You know, if you get, I think, like, if you get a phishing message and it's age appropriate, like, obviously there are certain aspects of cyber attacks that can be really concerning to a kid. But like, if you get one that looks fairly innocent and you recognize it for what it is, that's an opportunity to go talk to your kid and say, hey, this is what, you know, if someone talks to you online on a gaming platform and promises you free money for your video game, you can be very confident that that's not, like, real or legit, right? But it takes you actually calling that out for them to be able to spot that the second time.
Yeah, I love that. So look for learning opportunities, good and bad. We appreciate you all taking the time to listen today. And if you want to learn more, we have a lot more resources online on our intranet, tips on how to keep kids and yourself safe online.
Thanks, guys.